Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Motivate My Life Radio. I'm your host, Teresa Murphy, and today we have with us Takitha Wilson. Takitha will be talking about her new book, Too Precious to Be. She will also be discussing how she survived past the pain of domestic abuse as a child and what keeps her motivated daily to be able to help other women that are suffering in silence. So, good morning, Takitha. How are you this morning?
Good morning, everyone. How are you? I'm doing well.
Awesome. So, Takitha, we're going to jump right in. Looks like we have a lot of listeners on the call today, so which is awesome. Hopefully someone will be able to walk away with something today with our conversation. So what I would like to know, so people can find out who you are, if you can tell us just a little bit about your background, far as where you grew up, where you're from, and kind of your domestic violence abuse situation. You don't have to, of course, go into full details. If you can just give us a synopsis, that would be awesome.
Okay, great. I'm Takitha Wilson, everyone. I am the author of the book Too Precious to Be, A Guide to Restoring Women Suffering in Silence. I was born and raised in Washington, D.C. I am a product of D.C. Public Schools. I am also a motivational speaker, CEO, and founder of Empowerment Station and an ambassador for 10 Blessings, 10,000 Survivors, which is a domestic violence initiative to help 10,000 victims break free from domestic violence and abusive relationships.
Awesome. Now, Takitha, it looks like, you know, you actually did go through domestic violence and you actually obviously survived the domestic abuse that you went through. Now, was your domestic abuse, was it with a partner? What was your domestic abuse life like and how did you survive it?
It was with a partner. I was engaged. It was my son's father. So for me, I thought we would have we would live the American dream. We would have the happily ever after story. I had the 4-carat ring. We had the house. We had the cars. And so when the abuse started for me, it really was shocking because as a child, I had never witnessed abuse, nor was I accustomed to seeing a woman being hit by a man. So it was very shocking for me. The first time I was hit, I wet my pants. So my body reacted the first hit, and, I mean, it really took me through a loop. So it was something that shocked me initially when it happened, and thereafter, as it continued, I had to really gain the strength to, you know, overcome it. But when I say that, I had to say to myself, I'm too precious to be abused, and that's a part in the book. I was too precious to be abused. And going through that scenario, it was really, really hard, but I made it through and I survived and I lived to tell my story. And I still have to interact with my abuser because, like I said, my abuser is my son's father and he's not in jail. He's still active in my son's life because I do believe that my son should still benefit from him having his father. But what it did was it actually forced him to change directions and work on himself as a man. To be a better father so that the cycle will not continue. So that's the aftermath of the abuse in which some people die from domestic violence or being abused.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can get incarcerated. But in my situation, I still have to live and, interact with him. We're not together. We have two totally different lifestyles. However, my son still has the ability to be able to interact and have his father in his life.
Well, Takitha, let me ask you, you know, because a lot of people that survive domestic violence, they don't no longer actually have to, you know, interact with that individual. So initially when the abuse was, you were done and you guys separated at some point, how were you able to mentally move forward and have to deal with him because your son had to have a relationship with his father? Like, what was that feeling like?
Well, there still was like a form of what you would consider re-victimization. So there were still forms of harassment in there. There was still a lot of bickering. I always felt in a sense that he was still trying to control some parts of the relationship between my son and I and he and my son. So there was still friction, but it took time. And for me, I just gave it all to God. I just, you know, I got tired of being sick and tired. But my son loved both of his parents, and I just did not want my son to have a broken family, whereas we will be repeating the cycle. I was too precious to be fatherless. His father was in a fatherless household, but he also had witnessed the violence before in his household. So there was a pattern. But yet again, here you have a child, another generation, another cycle. And for me, when I say give it over to God, I just had to forgive wholeheartedly. And a lot of times people who suffer from abuse, they really don't forgive. In actuality, they're still breeding a form of hatred in their heart, and it's not genuine love. If you're still angry, if you're still resentful, if you're still feeling as if you want to get back at that person, when I really let it all go, he began to change his life, and it's almost as if the tables were turned. And so when you say, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, I was just agreeing with what you were saying.
Oh, yeah, so I was just saying in regards to, you know, I just didn't want to continue to pass a cycle of hatred because it was causing me to be a person that I wasn't, that I didn't know existed in me. You know, I became very suicidal. I became very depressed. I had wrote my will out. I was prepared to die. I had called my brother and told my brother if something was to happen to me, you know, I gave him the information about my will, all insurance policies, and I wrote this in the book because, again, you go back and forth. But for me, when I gave it all over to God and I asked God to heal my heart and also heal his father, because I can't just pray for me. I had to pray for him too and ask God to heal him because, again, this was a cycle, and my son was not his only child. So if the cycle would continue with my son, what about all the other women that will come behind me? It's not fair to them, and it's not fair to their children. So I just had to be the bigger person. And sometimes we often forget if we want to walk in the Christian walk or walk a spiritual walk with God, he calls us to be something so higher, and he puts his super on our natural. So when I said I wanted to, you know, give it over to God, God gave me all things and supplemented me every single part in every single part of my life. So I never had to want any more because I gave it to him and I let it go.
So,
but it took time.
So one of the key things I want people to get from what you're discussing right now is you forgave yourself, you forgave the abuser, so you were able to move on. Because a lot of people, that is one of the biggest issues with a lot of people that go through domestic abuse. They actually have a hard time forgiving. And what happens is that situation still controls them for a larger part of their lives moving forward. So it's really important out there, listeners, that you do forgive yourself and you definitely forgive the abuser. And sometimes we're so angry, Takitha, that we don't want to forgive the abuser because we don't know how. So my question to you is, when you started your forgiveness period, when that forgiveness period started, and I know that it is tied to spirituality and, you know, prayer is powerful. And when you started your forgiveness, like, what went through your mind when you said, okay, I have to move forward. I don't want other people to continually, even your son, because does your son remember any of the abuse? You know, how old was he at the time? And again, what went through your mind, you know, pretty much when you said, I have to start a forgiveness process? Because a lot of people want to forgive. A lot of people want to move forward. A lot of people want to get past that pain. They just don't know how to start. So are you basically saying that you just started praying? Is that how you started your forgiveness process?
Well, I had a support system. And one of the most influential people during this time in my life was my best friend. I consider us like an Oprah and Gail, like she's my Gail. And I say that because for 3 years, I would talk about every single thing every day. I can't believe he did this to me. I was better than this. What was wrong? I said this for 3 years, and every day she would say, you're better than this. You can do this. She would encourage me every step of the way. But then there was one time where she said, you know what? I am so sick and tired of you talking about this. When are you going to let it go? And I said, well, I am letting it go. I'm working on it. She said, no, you're not. Because for 3 years, I have sat here and listened to the same story. And so when she said that to me, I was like, wow. Like, I gave it three. I fed this thing for 3 years, and it was like a cancer. And so it was breeding.
Wow.
For me, it was so deep to the point when I decided that I wasn't want to talk about it no more. That was the first step for me. I said, you know what? I'm not going to talk about it no more. Today is day one. I'm not going to talk about him. I'm not going to talk about the abuse. I'll talk about something else. And that was day one. And so as time progressed, when we would talk on the phone, my best friend said, you know what? I know you're getting better. I'm not going to bring it up, but I know you're getting better. And you know what I mean, because you haven't talked about it. And that's when I began to see growth. The other part to it was, yes, my son did witness some of the domestic violence. My son was 3 years old at the time. And there was a time where I was fleeing with my son in my hand, and his father was in the middle of us. We were in the middle of fighting. So, yes, my son did witness it. But my son holds his father accountable because my son is in therapy as well. And so that was the aftermath. I had to put my son in therapy because, again, he's at the age where he's a sponge. So he can absorb a lot of things. But even with him going to school and having the relationships and learning early how to treat a woman or how to interact with a young girl, those are things that will stay with him for the rest of his life. So that's why I put him in therapy, and he's still there. He talked to his therapist about things that he's witnessed, and so that's an ongoing process. So I made sure that I kept that in his life. Now, what he will say to his father is that, you remember when you hit mommy, and that breaks his father down.
Oh, wow.
Because his father had to begin to say, you know what, I made a mistake, I'm sorry. You know, he still apologizes. And it's just like when you have to grow up. You know, domestic violence is not the end of the world. It happened, we move forward. Because guess what, we still have a child to raise. It's my only child. And I just feel like I had to put my all into my son. One, because he's a man. Two, because this was a generational thing that was up against him. And so as me, as his mother, I had to be the biggest mother that I can be with everyone in my support system helping me. You know, I did not always do things right. I did not always make the best decisions. But when I say that it took for us to move forward and get past it, and that's what I advocate. I advocate because I think that women and men should understand that it happens to all of us in some way, shape, or form, whether it's indirectly or directly. Okay, you could be a family member, you could have witnessed it, you could have been that victim. So don't be afraid and be silent when you feel like you can't speak out. The moment that I share my story, so many people said to me, it happened to me, or I know someone. You know, and so it was really empowering. And then when they see the fact that I still have to interact with him, they always say, wow, you have to be really strong. And I do. I have to really think, and I have to really pray and before I go into different arenas sometimes, because I feel like, you know, there could be something there that may try to, it's a trigger. You know, you never know what can trigger you to take you back to that place. And that's where the work begins, the growth begins.
So basically, I mean, so what I'm hearing, firstly, you need to have some real friends. So God, I mean, at the end of the day, you do need to have that real friend that doesn't continue to allow you to wallow in what happened to you, but that real friend that says, hey, look, you have to move forward, and I'm not gonna listen to this anymore. So you definitely need that friend that will stop you pretty much in your tracks with the everyday going forward with what happened to you and you still living in that pain. And then secondly, forgiveness. And I think that is, again, that is so huge to me, Takeitha, because I think that goes with a lot of things in life when people hurt you, because you will get hurt even outside of domestic abuse. You still will get hurt at some point in your life or disappointed. And the faster you're able to forgive, I really believe that the quicker you're able to move forward with your life, because you can wake up, you know, as we know, time waits for no one, and you have 3-4 years of your life has gone by, and you're still stuck in a situation where someone hurt you. So I think that's awesome. That's an awesome message as far as teaching a lot of the listeners on the call right now how to forgive. I really do believe, though, when you go through different stages when it comes to domestic abuse, when it's time to, as far as getting past domestic abuse, because you go through your bitterness stages, you know, you start questioning God stages, and then you have to go to the forgiveness stage, and that's the stage where some of us have a hard time reaching and being able to move forward. So, I mean, I think that's a great success story for you through your abuse, and I think that you can definitely motivate and continuously motivate a lot of women for what you went through. Because I do talk to women right now that are still actually broken. They're still broken right now from something that happened 10 years ago. So we need definitely advocates like you to be able to continually to help women move forward. And I think it's awesome, too, that, you know, your son's getting therapy. That I think a lot of parents don't realize the impact that domestic abuse has on children. And sometimes we want to just bury it and keep moving forward and then not actually help our children get past it either. And I, you know, it doesn't matter what age your children are, whether they were young, whether they were, you know, teenagers, preteens, or what have you. Parents, if your child has witnessed domestic abuse, they definitely need to at some point get therapy. So great story, Takitha. I appreciate that. And we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about Too Precious to Be, which is your book that you're going to have released. Now, Takitha, is this your new book or is this your first book? And do you have other books?
This is my first book. So this is like my baby girl, the girl, the daughter that I never had. Thank you. Thank you.
Because we do know the life of an author is that's a whole nother journey that you know that takes a lot of takes a lot of work. So tell us a little bit about what is Too Precious to Be. What is this your book about?
Too Precious to Be: A Guide to Restoring Women Suffering in Silence. It's a memoir about my life, and so I share my story with the reader, and I also, it doubles as a workbook. So I share my story, but I ask the reader questions. So I can share with you all the chapter titles, and hopefully you will be inspired by the book. Too Precious to Be. I was too precious to be hidden, broke, molested, bullied, abused, addicted, embarrassed, struggling, captive, unhealthy, fatherless, negative, ungrateful, inferior, disrespected, and deceived. I am too precious to be, and so are you.
Wow. Well, you definitely have me inspired, and I will definitely order me a copy of your book. I am always a big supporter of any type of domestic abuse advocacy, as I am a domestic violence survivor myself. So in your book, when you decided that one moment, because I know that that little voice starts talking to you in your head, so when you decided, hey, I need to get this story out, or hey, I need to help another woman, or I need to motivate someone to get past their pain, what happened that particular moment when you decided that you wanted to write a book? Because writing a book isn't easy. So that light bulb that went off at that moment, what made you want to write the book?
Well, for 2 years previously, before the book actually was written, I was saying to my friends, hey, you guys, I'm writing a book. And so they were always like, oh, okay, great, you know. but that wasn't the book that I was writing, actually. I was actually on the beach in Miami when I wrote a post on Facebook and said I have the next chapter of my life. I'm going to write a book. And so I had always spoken into existence. However, that was not the book that I was intending on writing. But God gave me a vision, and in that vision I saw myself on the platform with two motivational speakers. Dr. Cindy Trim and Lisa Nichols was given to me in a vision, and so I began to write from that day forth. Now, domestic violence is only one chapter of my life. As I stated, I was molested as a child by two young girls. So that was my early childhood. Both of my parents were incarcerated earlier in my life, so my aunt took care of me very early on. There's a lot to my story. And so what I began to write was basically like the first five chapters, which was Too Precious to Be Abused. That was one. Too Precious to Be Addicted, that talks about toxic relationships and the pattern that we as women have a tendency to date the same type of man, that we don't see why we're dating that guy. That talks about addiction. And so what you consider addiction is a substance abuse or maybe alcoholism, that toxic relationship can be an addiction as well. So I began to put the book together, but then there were topics that I really did not want to talk about. And that was, again, the molestation. So I had to go back. And what happened was my best friend, again, she would say, you know, well, you leaving some parts out in the book, you know. You can't leave this part out. You need to put this part in. Remember when this happened? So it was almost as if she was my memory bank. And so she would give me, she would say to me certain things like, hey, make sure you put this in a book, and I will read it back to her. And that's how it began to form. And so initially when I started, I had about 5 chapters, and I thought I was done. You know, like, I wrote this magnificent book, and no, that wasn't it. It was still coming out of me. So it was like a purging or like a cleansing. And then the more I began to write, the more I began to heal. And I say that because for 3 years after my domestic violence, I suffered. But when I began to really let everything go, that was when the writing in the book came about. And so this was all done last year. And so I went through a year of healing myself. I went through a long time of suffering and silence. But it took time for me. When I began to see it on the paper and write it, even during the editing phase of my book, I still had a hard time accepting some of the things that I wrote because I remembered that it happened to me. I experienced it, but to see it and to feel it. My book is really powerful in that I know that there are women who went through what I went through. I know there are women who've been molested. I know that there are women who've been abused. I know that there are women who grew up in a fatherless household. You know, so that's where my story comes from.
But your story goes way beyond just domestic abuse from a partner. I mean, you really have a story from far as molestation, bullying, and so forth. And to hear you now, you know, become an advocate and motivate women to be able to push past their pain, I really think is awesome. And far as your book is concerned, I wanted to talk to you about, I know you have an upcoming book signing, and I'm sure a lot of people that are listening in on the call would like to know how can they obtain a copy of your book. If you can tell us when is your next book signing and where is it located and the time and so forth.
Okay, awesome. So you can come to my book signing and join me from 5 to 11 tomorrow, Thursday, February the 25th, at MK Lounge at 1930 9th Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. And I'll be signing books from 5 to 11. There's also like a scandal watch party later on that night. So all your Scandal fans, come and join us. No need. You can watch Scandal and purchase a book all at the same time. So you can also purchase the book online at empowermentstation.com. That's my website. Again, that's empowermentstation.com. And you can go to the program and product section, click buy it, and I can autograph your copy and ship it directly to you. Also, I just wanted to say this. When you think about yourself, remember that when you want to grow and you want to heal, the first step starts with you. Even if you don't want to accept anything that you've ever been through, the first step to healing yourself or beginning to restore yourself is accepting who you are and what you've been through. So remember, you're too precious to be broken. And that's one thing I want you to understand to all your listeners out there. So join me tomorrow at MK Lounge, 1939 Street Northwest from 5 to 11 in D.C., or go to empowermentstation.com.
And also, Takeitha, if you can tell us, before we wrap up, if you can just tell us to where, tell us just really briefly, if you can, we do have a few minutes left. Can you tell some of the women, like, maybe what are some of the signs when it comes to domestic abuse? Because a lot of times the signs are right there and we kind of ignore them. So what were some of your signs? Was yours just kind of went from 0 to 60 far as you went through domestic abuse and you just got hit? Or what did you guys argue? Like, what were some of the signs that you had before you got to the point of domestic abuse?
Well, in my case, the signs were there. I just never paid attention to them. He had never really shown me a pattern in the beginning, but we were coming off of a prison sentence at the time, and so he said that I cheated on him. I was unfaithful. And so I can admit that I was not truthful in the relationship, but when I did let him know the truth, I talked to him and told him, yes, I did see someone else for a period of time. And that moment changed everything. He turned into the Incredible Hulk from that point on. And he said, you know, I cheated on him. I wasn't faithful. He became controlling. It was so simple as if I were to put on a certain type of dress, where you going, who you were trying to impress. If my phone ring, who is that on the phone? Is that dude calling you? You know, things like that. And I had the same cell phone number for like over 20 years. So my cell phone number never changed. So I had my number when I was in college. So anyone at any time who had my number can call me sporadically. I could not control that. And one day I received a random call, and that's when it all turned downhill. So for me, you can be mindful of things that you feel that is controlling. And if you don't even know it's control, just think. Like, why would someone ask you to change your outfit? Why would someone want to monitor your money or tell you you only can have a certain amount of money? Why would someone tell you that you're ugly and break you down? Why would someone put their hands on you? Those are signs to look at. Aggression. Always look at the pattern of family history. If that person doesn't have any friends and they have a tendency to isolate you, that's another sign. Because what they have a tendency to do, abusers will isolate you and get you all to yourself. And that's what he had tried to do. But my support system, I'm telling you, my support system wasn't going for. My best friend was always there. Anytime something happened, it's just by the grace of God, she always showed up. But for those people who don't have that support system, when you get isolated, it's you versus the abuser, and they start with verbal abuse, yep, breaking you down verbally. You're nothing. You will never be nothing. You're no good. No yep. one is doing what you're doing. Once you begin to manifest that in your mind and believe in that, that's where they have you. So all of the other abuse then added onto it is only like toppings on ice cream. So you have to look at it like this. If they're verbally abusing you and they say something to you to degrade you, speak to it immediately and nip it in the bud. Don't accept that in your life. You're better than that. You don't have to accept someone abusing you verbally. And that goes the same for your children. Because abuse not only could be for the adult, it could go for the children. So that man that you're with, you think he's so happily in love with you, he might not even like your children. And he could be verbally mm-hmm. abusing your children just as much as he's abusing you. So you have to think as one in a full perspective. Mm-hmm. Don't just think about yourself. Think about your children and the next generation and cycle that you're breeding and you're bringing up. Because that's what happens with domestic violence. We have swept it under the rug for so long that people do not care. They don't want to talk about it. And this is another thing, because people don't think about this. How much has domestic violence cost you? And that's what I put in the book. How much have you paid with your makeup? How much do you pay in medical bills?
Wow.
How much do you pay covering up your story,
wow.
hiding things, storing things away, trying to keep it in secret, when your family members, they know. These people know.
And you know what, Chiquita? And you know what, and not to cut you off, that is so true when you look at it in that aspect. How much money have you spent on domestic violence? And really wanted a lot of the listeners to know that there are different signs of domestic violence. So there is mental, there's mental abuse, there's physical abuse, financial abuse, and sexual abuse, and domestic violence does come in a lot of different forms. So ladies, please don't get it mixed up that if you're not getting physically abused or you're not getting hit, that you're not in a domestic violence relationship. So Takitha, we're actually about to wrap up now, but I definitely want to thank you today for joining Motivate My Life Radio. It has been a pleasure, and again, please don't forget to get your copy of Too Precious to Be by Takitha Wilson. And Takitha, thanks again, and you have a great rest of the day.
Thank you all so much. You're too precious to be.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.